This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
1245, and this was texted to us at 10-12-60 from 7411. Best D-man on the team. Are you crazy, Low Tide? Well, he was until they traded him. Tom Gilbert played the most minutes. He played all kinds of minutes in all three disciplines against tough opposition. Last year, he mentored Theo Pekham. Pekham had a year that was good enough that got him a contract that was pretty good. And I understand Schultz is a good player. I'm not blaming Schultz. I just think Tom Gilbert was the best NHL defenseman the Edmonton Oilers had, and trading him was a year from now, they may replace him, and Jeff Petrie may be that guy, but just because Jeff Petrie was ready doesn't mean you have to trade him, you know, honestly. But anyway, that's water under the bridge now, and the trade deadline has gone in. And I do like Nick Schultz. I think he's a very fine player. So cheering for Nick Schultz because he's an Edmonton Oiler and he's a good player. So end of second, Washington 4-2 over Boston. It's Semin, Hendricks, Beagle, and like Ovechkin, nothing but Beagle scoring up a storm. Milan Lucic and Brad Marchand are also on the scoreboard for the Boston Bruins. Oilers play at 1 o'clock this afternoon against Colorado, and that's going to be a very interesting game because the Oilers are they got Linus Omark on line number two right now. That's going to be interesting to watch. Habibulin in again because Dubnyk has tweaked a groin, and the pairings are interesting for me anyway because Nick Schultz is back, but again, he's on the third pairing with Sutton, so that's going to be a great big third pairing. The second pairing is Potter and Whitney. That's going to be an adventure because Whitney's still not 100%, and Smeed Petrie are going to go up against the big boys, as we might expect. Speaking of, you know, intelligence and wise, Kent Wilson joins us now from Flames Nation and various parts on the internet. Calgary fans must be somewhat borderline giddy today.
Yeah, it was an interesting game last night, for sure.
So, and I'm not trying to be rude here, because although I want to be, that's not the point I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. The Flames have Habibulin, or I'm sorry, Kiprasov, Aginla, and at least five guys that the normal fan has never heard of, but they're still winning hockey games, and they look like a team that Ken King could kiss and hug every night. What's going on down there? Is it just those two guys in mirrors, or and Glenn Cross scoring goals every night, or are these guys really contributing?
I mean, the bottom end, you're right, it's a lot of replacement-level players and AHLers, and yeah, probably guys no one else outside of Calgary's ever heard of, but it's a lot of stuff. I mean, Kiprasov is making a lot of saves still. Curtis Glenn Cross has scored in six straight games, which is a career high, and I think that matches a season high in the NHL this year, and everything he's shooting at the net is going in. Alex Tanguay is playing some really good hockey. It's the last couple games just have gone their way.
Any Calgary Flame fan right now must feel like this is the Flames to lose, even though they're a point out. They're just playing so well, and we've seen this movie before, right?
Yeah, we have. Actually, the fan base is a little bit more cynical than that. The last couple games have been encouraging, but I have a poll on Flames Nation right now, and it's sort of split between, you know, it isn't over until it's over, and the other half of the fan base seems to think, you know, they gave up weeks ago. They don't consider the latest drive to be legitimate. So it depends on who you ask in Calgary, who's excited about it and who's already looking at the draft.
I can say this because I'm not a Flames fan and I don't cheer for them. Mikko Kiprasov, if he played in Toronto, he'd be on his third Vezina by now, and they'd be making the wing for him in the Hall of Fame. He's not going to win an award or anything like that. But is there a player in the NHL, in your opinion, right now, who is more valuable to his team than Kiprasov?
There might be a couple goalies. Jonathan Quick has probably been a bigger MVP for the Kings this year just because they score even less than the Calgary Flames. Henrik Lundqvist has been absolutely outstanding for New York. But, you know, Evgeny Malkin, he's turned the heart race. It's not much of a race if he continues doing what he's doing. That said, the Flames aren't in the playoff race without the way Kiprasov has played this year.
And it was nice to see Sven Berchi get an emergency call-up. And I know it's hard to judge these things, and I saw a couple of plays where he's just so young and not strong enough to compete against any NHL player. But I thought, that aside, he looked pretty good. He knew what he was doing, and he was in the right areas.
Yeah, there was a couple plays that I watched last night where it's clear that he's come straight from junior, just because there's so much more time and space in the WHL versus the NHL. So he made a few plays where you could tell he was expecting to have a second or more to make the decision. But on the other hand, he wasn't timid. He attacked plays when he got the puck. You could tell he wanted to be in the play every time he was on the ice, and was anticipating well. So he only got about 9 minutes of ice time, and that's to be expected for a teenager, especially because the Flames were protecting lead all night. But I was encouraged.
You know, Ken King got about 9 minutes of face time on the Sportsnet broadcast, but in a way, it's this entire story sort of redeems him, right? Because he and Jay Feaster were the two that were saying, no, we're not flushing this thing, we're not trading anybody, full, you know, force Gale, and right now they look pretty darn smart.
They do for now, but and the final tally is at the end of the year. If the Flames, you know, make the playoffs and they do anything in the postseason, they'll be able to look in the cameras and say, we told you so. But I mean, the Flames are still in a very tight race for this final spot, and if they come at ninth or tenth again, I think they will be some tough questions to answer.
In conversation with Kent Wilson from Flames Nation, it's 12:51. This is Nation Radio. Kent, you wrote an excellent piece this week on NHL general managers and their search for winners and leaders, and what they're looking for and what they should be looking for. Tell me about the article and why you wrote it and what your conclusions were.
Yeah, I mean, I have a psychology background. I have a degree in it, so I often look at things from a different angle when I hear, you know, we need to look for winners and we need to look for certain personality types to get to the ultimate championship. And it's just so subjective, and it's so difficult to isolate, you know, the factors that go into making a person a winner. And I think it can lead decision makers down blind alleys, just because I'm aware of all the biases that go into human decision making.
Well, it was brought home for me, and it's on Yahoo, right?
It is on Puck Daddy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found it fascinating because you really put into words how I felt about Hemsky, where all the arguments that were being made were about what you saw on the ice, where Hemsky would go up to the blue line and then turn the puck over and it's the other way, and it seems like it's happening all the time, but in reality it happens very little, and he's been very good over the years at putting the puck in the right direction against tougher opposition and posting points, especially at 5-on-5, based on how much he's on the ice. And you brought it all home very nicely with Hemsky, and it sort of crystallizes the argument in the city of Edmonton, because Hemsky's a better player than a lot of Oiler fans think he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the problem with things like winners versus losers is reputations can cling to players even in the face of competing evidence, and it's especially problematic in team sports because there's lots of factors that go into a hockey team winning or losing. I brought up the fact that, you know, Ray Bourque wouldn't have been a Stanley Cup champion if he hadn't been traded to the Colorado Avalanche at the end of his career. I mean, that's a first ballot all-star player. He's one of the most dominant defensemen that ever played the game. But his Boston Bruins never won a championship. And that wasn't because he wasn't a winner. It wasn't because of some personal defect in him. It's just that there's lots of things that have to go right for a team to win a championship in the NHL. So it's problematic to start putting things like you're a winner or you can't win games for your team when it's just, there's too many things that happen outside a personal player's control.
So with that in mind, do you think advanced stats will ever eventually get to the point where those long-held biases, that's what I'll call them, become secondary to actual, you know, factual accounts?
It's hard to say. I mean, it really depends on how much or how deep advanced stats, and it's not even just the stats, it's the thought process that goes behind them. It's to check your own preconceptions, your own notions against the evidence. And some people will never really want to do that, and that's fair, because a lot of people watch hockey just for the visceral thrill. They don't need to constantly to see if they're right about one thing or another. But when it comes to actual analysis, be it in the front offices or in the media, it just depends on how close we get to making that mainstream. And I think it's happening now, but you never know.
Well, I thank you for that, and I appreciate the information. And I have a feeling that 20 years from now, you and I will be sitting going, oh, they're using the wrong advanced stat on television.
Yeah, people like myself now will be denouncing me 20 years from now. We'll see.
It's like Vince Lombardi said years after, he said, winning is the only thing. He said, I really regret ever saying that. Ken, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
No problem.
That's Kent Wilson. Great writer, very insightful guy, and one of our favorites here for good reason from Flames Nation and about 50 other sites, including Puck Daddy now. Congratulations to him. Forgot to congratulate him on a job well done, and obviously he's appreciated in getting a wider audience for good reason. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.